All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20. Matthew, chapter 20, please. Matthew, chapter 20. I have been struggling all week with what to preach this morning. And about 18 years ago, I preached from this passage of Scripture, this the 20th chapter, and I entitled my sermon, The 11th Hour Man, because this guy got saved in the 11th hour. There's only 12 hours of daytime in Jewish understanding. There's 12 hours of day, and then there are 12 hours of night, and thus the 24-hour day. And they assign it that way to make it simple to remember the times of prayer. There are special hours where they were to go to the Lord and pray. 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock, 9 o'clock, noon, and then 3 o'clock again. And so those were special hours that were designated as hours of prayer, hours of sacrifice, and so on. The 11th hour, that's 1 hour before the start of the night. All right, the Jewish day went from 6 in the evening all the way till 6 in the evening. And so you had 12 hours of night and you had 12 hours of day. It started at 6 in the morning, 12 hours a day, went from 6 to 6. And the whole idea behind that really makes a great deal of sense when you think about it, but that's how they... that's how they did it. Now, in this passage, what we see in chapter 20 is the Lord Jesus giving a parable. Now, a parable is an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. In other words, you read this story and you're going to see this story explained here by the Lord Jesus. It's a simple little story. But there is a message that is connected to it. As a matter of fact, with this one, there are many messages connected to it. But if you look at verse 1, we'll read the text, and the Lord Jesus is here talking about life and about the kingdom and all the things that go along with all that. And he says in verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven. All right, so here is a parable about the kingdom of heaven and what it's going to be like. So he said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day. All right, now do you see that? He agreed with the workers for a penny a day. He sent them into his vineyard. So this is early in the morning. And he agreed for one penny. You work all day for me, one penny. We're good. And so verse 3, and when he went out about the third hour, all right, so the third hour, so you got 6 o'clock is the first hour of the day, and then so 6, 7, 8, so he goes out at 9 to get more, the third hour, get more workers. And he saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give it you. And they went their way. Now notice, he did not agree on a price with these fellas. So you got some men working from 6 a.m. and now and they agreed to work for a penny. Now it's 9 a.m. and he goes out. He's got crops he's got to get in. He's got grapes he's got to get in. So he hires more, but there is no negotiation on price. You notice that? Hello? Y'all speak English here? All right. I can't do Spanish, so everybody got it? All right. So he says, I will give whatever's right. So verse 5, and he went out about the sixth hour and then the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, so it's 5 o'clock now in the evening, all right, the 11th hour. One more hour of day. One more, that's it. At 12, it's the end of the day. It's 6 o'clock, and it's the end of the day. So at about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. All right, so the 11th hour, and he says, you want to work? Yeah, I want to work. Well, go out in the vineyard and get to work. You only got 1 hour, but I'll pay you what is right. And so they did. Verse 8, it says, so when even or evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, or in other words, their wages, beginning from the last unto the first. So in other words, start with those 11th hour people and then go all the way down to those who signed up first thing 6 o'clock in the morning. And so give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a what? A penny. Wait a minute. Isn't that what he said he would give in verse 2 to those that worked for 12 hours? Yes. They got the same thing that worked 1 hour as those who worked 12 hours. All right, so hang on to that now. So it says, verse 9, and when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is. In other words, take what's yours and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. It is not lawful for me to do, what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few are chosen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you now for our time together this morning. Thank you for the family of the Church, the Open Door. And Lord, what a blessing it is every time we gather here in this building and open your eternal word. And Father, I pray that you will bless this morning in a great way. Give us something that we can think on, and something that will speak to our hearts and draw us to you. And Father, I just pray that if there is someone here who is in the 11th hour of their lives, Father, we know not what another day might bring forth. What is our life but a vapor that appeareth for a moment and then vanisheth away? So, Lord, there may be somebody here who needs this message, who is in the 11th hour of life, and they may not even know it yet. But, Father, speak to our hearts and give us, I pray, understanding. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, the day is about over for this fella. The 11th hour, verse 6, it says, about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. So the day is about over. I mean, it's 5 o'clock in the evening. It is getting late. There's only one more hour in which to work. And there are people that have been there all day long, but these guys just went out at the 11th hour, right at the last minute. And, you know, I'm thankful I got saved when I was 16 years of age. I wish I had gotten saved earlier. I wish I had gotten saved when I was 5 or 6 years old, when I first had understanding of my need for the Lord. But I rebelled and I hardened my heart to the gospel, and I did not get saved until I was 16 years of age. I'm thankful that I got saved then, but I wonder how much was ingrained. How much of the flesh and how much of the world was ingrained within me that I struggled and battled when I was younger. You know, I wished I had gotten saved as a child and had been in church and stayed in church and was encouraged to read my Bible like I was at 16 when I got saved. I wish that all of that had happened when I was younger. I may not have developed some of the appetites that I developed by the time I got saved at 16 years of age, had I gotten saved earlier. I mean, it's always better to be saved early in life and not have to incur the scars of sin or develop appetites which you have to battle throughout your life. I know folks who have not gotten involved in the ministry, in the church, because of an addiction that they had. They don't want to come to church and sit in a Sunday school class with little ones and smell like the bottom of an ashtray. Amen. All right. Yeah, we know that's true, don't we? So I'm thankful that I got saved early in life, and thankful that there's victory in Jesus, aren't you? But the amazing thing is that the grace of God is available to all men right up to the 11th hour. You can get saved right at the last minute. I've seen multitudes of people through the years that have gotten saved on their deathbed. I could just stand up here the rest of the morning and tell you stories of people, men and women, who got saved at the last minute before they died. I've had folks that were rebellious. There was one fella my mind goes to right now, and he would get up. He lived across the street from us, and I would see him on the porch, and I would go over and talk to him about the Lord. And it got to the place where he would just get up, as soon as I brought the Lord up, go inside and shut the door. Just leave me sitting there. And one day they called, said he's in the hospital. And he had been in the hospital for about about a month. And so I would go up and see him, and he was delirious. He was delirious when I went to see him. And I found out that what he was doing was going through alcohol withdrawal. Yeah. And he was just out of his mind. And so one day it was snowing. I remember it was snowing. It's a Saturday. I'm sitting in my office working on the message for Sunday. And I just felt impressed to the Lord to go see him. He was in a nursing home up Route 60 near Hawk's Nest. You ever hear of Hawk's Nest, West Virginia on Route 60? Yeah? Well, he was in a nursing home up there. And so I said, Lord, it's snowing. And the Lord said, I know it's snowing. I caused it to snow. All right? But I said, Lord, you got to go up those mountains. I don't know about, but the Lord just kept burdening my heart. So I got in a car and drove up there. When I got there, I walked in the room and they had Butch tied to a bed. He was literally tied, arms and feet, ankles to his bed. And I found out the reason was because in his deliriums, he was trying to get out of bed. So they tied him down. Well, when I walked in this time, I looked over at him and a big old smile came across his face. And he said, hey, Pastor, how you doing? And I said, Butch, are you back? He said, yeah, I think so. I said, good. I said, listen. And I started to weep. And I just couldn't help it. I was so overwhelmed. And I walked over. I said, look, Butch, the Lord impressed my heart to come up here and talk to you about getting saved. And he just turned his head over against the wall. And so I thought, not this time, bud. I reached over and I grabbed him by the chin and I pulled his head back over. I said, you are not going to turn away from me this time. And I looked him square in the eye and he saw the tears running down my face. And all of a sudden the tears started running down his face. And that man broke just like that. And I went through the gospel. I said, Butch, you understand this? Yes. You got that? Yes. You understand this? I do. I said, are you ready to trust Christ as your Savior? And he said, yes, I am. And he got saved right there. Now, he died just a little bit later after that. Just a couple of weeks later, he went on to heaven. But I'm telling you, folks, don't wait till the 11th hour. You don't know. You don't know if you're going to get an opportunity in the 11th hour. But this man, thank the Lord, he did. The amazing thing is that the grace of God is available right up to the 11th hour. So if you have waited to be saved, regardless of what reason you have for waiting, I mean, if you've waited until the 11th hour, it is good to know that you can still get in on the kingdom of God. All right, now, notice a couple of observations about this 11th hour group. Notice that there is no hint that these men or this man that the Lord was speaking of was a bad person. No mention of that at all. We don't see anything in here about his character. We don't see anything that tells us, oh, this man was an alcoholic. We don't know that. Jesus didn't tell us anything about it. We don't have anything in here about how this fella corrupted his life and what made him hard against the things of God. We don't have any of that here. I mean, there are some other 11th hour men that we know about in the Bible, and these were bad fellas. For example, the thief on the cross. Man, if ever there was an 11th hour man, it was that thief on the cross that got saved, wasn't it? But we don't know anything about this fella. But the most famous 11th hour man, thief on the cross, no doubt, no doubt. I mean, if ever there was an 11th hour man, this thief was it. I can imagine he had left home when he was young in rebellion. I could imagine he broke his mother's heart and caused his daddy to have ulcers. I'm sure he chose a life of crime and debauchery, maybe thinking as a freedom fighter that he was doing a good thing and a good deed. But when we see him in the Bible, he is hanging on a cross with just a little while to live. He's hanging on a cross beside the Lord Jesus. Jesus was in the middle, a thief on this side, a thief on this side. And while they were hanging on the cross, this thief, think about it, folks. Both of them had the same opportunity. Both of them. They both could have called upon the Lord, but only one did. You talk about an 11th hour man. This guy's it. And he cries out and says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. But wait a minute, folks. Where else does this guy have to turn? Where else can he turn? I mean, he's nailed to a cross. He can't say, hey, fellas, hey, Mr. Soldier, hold, time out, time out. No, he's nailed to a cross. He can't do that. He can't say to the soldiers, if you guys will let me down, I'm going to turn a new leaf. All right, I'm going to become a new guy. If y'all just let me down, I promise. If you guys will just let me off this cross, I'm going to straighten up. You can write it down and I'll sign it. But that's not how it works, is it? No, when you are paying for your crimes, when you're paying for your sins, I mean, their intention is to carry out the full execution. He couldn't say, time out. Can I get off here and get baptized? No, you can't. No, but he did, though, the right thing. He cried out to the only one who could help him. And thank God he took that option and put his faith and his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the others laughed, the other thief laughed and mocked and rejected the grace that was offered to him, even in the 11th hour. But this fella received the Lord. He trusted Christ. Remember me. And the Lord Jesus smiled and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Thank God for the 11th hour. This man got in on it. This man got in on it. But I want you to notice this guy in our text. I mean, this fellow was a seemingly good man. I mean, he's looking for work. He's trying to earn some money to maybe buy food for his family. I mean, who knows? But he is a seemingly good fellow. He's not like the prodigal standing in the far country. He's not like those thugs that went down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho and beat that fellow to a pulp and left him lay there as the priest went by and as the others went by. But when the Samaritan came, oh yeah, the Samaritan stopped and took care of him. But this guy, this 11th hour man, he's not like those fellas. No, he's a seemingly good fella. He stands against the backdrop of the marketplace. You don't have criminals hanging around down at the marketplace. No, there's good folks down there, and they're trying to provide for their families. But notice. He is standing for the ordinary man, for the well-intentioned person. Yet, at the 11th hour, he is still outside the kingdom. But notice, he is not without excuse. And it is just like the Lord Jesus to point this out in the story. Notice when the man asked why was he standing there, he said, the only thing he could say was, well, nobody had hired me. Now think about that. Folks, that was nothing more than an excuse. You know, that's not a reason. That's an excuse. Because no man would hire you. I think embodied in the parable is the idea that this excuse is not entirely valid. Because you see, at the third hour, and again at the sixth hour, and even at the ninth hour, the servant of the householder was out there in the marketplace trying to find workers. So if this fella had been earnest and sincerely trying to find work, I think he could have gotten a job if he had truly been out there. There is no hint of that in him. So what he offered was an excuse, an excuse. The truth is, probably at 9 o'clock, he was still snoozing. Probably. And then at noon, he was probably down at the McDonald's hanging out with his buddies from the lodge. Probably. At 3, he was probably home on his couch taking his afternoon siesta. It's amazing, isn't it? But yet the beautiful thing here is that the master takes great pains to show us that this man was not without excuse. He was not without excuse. Then notice, he was called at 5 o'clock in the evening, at the 11th hour. You see, the day is almost over. It's the 11th hour of the day. Yet, this man is invited to come into the vineyards and work. Now, think about it. Think about it. Numbers mean something, don't they? Yeah, we've learned that in the past. Numbers mean something. All Bible students know that nothing ever happens in the Bible at the 11th hour. This is the only place you're going to find the 11th hour mentioned in your Bible. This is it. Oh, the third hour, that's a big hour of the day. It was at the third hour that the Lord Jesus was nailed to the cross. The sixth hour, noon, that's a great hour. Yeah, that's a tremendous hour. And that's when the Lord Jesus, when the darkness fell and the Lord Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yeah, that's a big hour. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that's a big hour in the Bible. That's an hour of prayer. And at 3 o'clock, that's when the Lord Jesus lifted up his head and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But then here we have the 11th hour. And the 11th hour is an hour in Scripture where nothing ever happens. We learned when we were studying the numbers just how important all the numbers are in the Bible, but here is the 11th hour, and it is an hour when nothing ever happens in the Scripture except for this man getting saved at the 11th hour. At the 11th hour. Folks, I'm sure that folks that were working in their booths there at the marketplace were shocked when the householder came at the 11th hour and offered this man a job. I'm sure they all looked at one another and thought, man, I've never seen that before. I've never seen anybody come and offer a man a job with just 1 hour left in the day. I've never seen that before. Maybe someone here this morning, and you're not saved, and maybe you are in the 11th hour of life. Maybe you are in the 11th hour of your life, and yet, in the grace of God, you're being called in this 11th hour to get saved today. You may not know what tomorrow holds. You may not know what tomorrow holds. Think about that. And if you're not sure of your salvation, I'm telling you, you better make your calling, as Peter said, your calling and election sure. Can you hear his call? Do you hear the Lord say, "Why stand ye here idle?" Can you hear the Lord calling you? You say, "But Pastor, I have plenty of time. I'm young yet." My friend, you do not know how much time you've got left. And it just might be the 11th hour of your life right now, and you don't even know it. But know this for sure, the Lord is calling and the Lord will save you if you will come and answer his call. Then notice that this employer was an amazing, amazing man. This householder, amazing fella. Oh my, this guy was something else for sure. I think that's the point that the Lord Jesus is so eager to impress upon us. Listen, folks, he had this employer been thinking of anything other than his crops, he would never have acted in this amazing fashion in which he behaved. If he had not just been totally absorbed in getting the harvest in, there's no way he would have acted this generously. I mean, think about it, folks. To hire men when the working day is coming to a close in just 1 hour, and then to pay them such an extravagant amount of money. I mean, who ever heard of such a practice? You have to admit his actions are rather strange. But I can imagine that about this time in the story, a smile flashed across our Lord Jesus Christ's face. And I can imagine that he thought, you know, that's exactly what I'm driving at. That's exactly what I'm driving at. For remember that my householder is God. My householder is God. My ways are not your ways, neither my thoughts, your thoughts, Isaiah 55:8. And the point that our Lord is making is this. This was an extraordinary householder because God is an extraordinary God. You see, God just wants you to go to heaven for all eternity. That's why he'll speak to you right in the 11th hour. He just wants you to go to heaven when you die. This is the extraordinary God who offered us his son so that all men everywhere could be saved and have an eternal home in heaven. Dear friend, can you not see how wonderful God is in his grace towards you? If you're sitting here today or you're listening today, let me tell you something, folks. You need to make sure that you're going to heaven. You need to know. Listen, that's the most important thing in the world. Because once the day is over, once your day is over, it's too late. It's too late. No, you need to call upon him in the 11th hour here. And I'll be honest with you, folks, I think we're all in the 11th hour, whether we realize it or not. I just can't imagine why the Lord has not already come back. If I was him, I would have. No, this, just as the householder called this man in the 11th hour, God's still calling folks today in the 11th hour. Is God calling you? Is God speaking to your heart? I mean, you don't know what hour it is. It just could be your 11th hour. And if it is, I should not be surprised that our loving, compassionate, merciful God would be calling to you in this hour of need. And then lastly, I want you to notice that this 11th hour man got more than he ever dreamed he would get. I think that this is so awesome. Listen to this, folks. You know the men that worked all day from 6 to 6? They got what they agreed to. The householder said, "You just work with me for the day. I'll pay you a penny." "Oh, okay." So they agreed. They worked for a penny. And that's what they negotiated for. And they said that they would work for a penny. And now this fella who only worked for 1 hour when the hour was up, he received a penny. Now the other guys were standing over going, Wait a minute. We worked all day. We got a penny. Yeah, but that's what you agreed for. He only worked an hour, and he gets a penny. You say, "Pastor, what's the point? Why is it this way?" Well, this shows us something pretty sweet, I think. You know, and here it is. We all get the same salvation when we get saved. Isn't that neat? I mean, we all get the same salvation when we get saved. I think that's just awesome. I wish I had gotten saved. I wish I'd gotten saved when I was 5 or 6 years of age. I wish I'd have gotten in my Bible. I wish I had gotten in church when I was 5 or 6 and been raised the whole time in church. I wished I had of. You know, living for the Lord is so much better than having to fight your flesh the rest of your life. So much better than having to get into a boxing match with the devil every single day. Yeah. Yeah. But you see, we all get the same salvation when we get saved. We get forgiven of sin, and when we get forgiven of sin, we have the right of access to go to heaven and to spend all of eternity with the Lord. All of us who get saved get to go to heaven and get to enjoy the same Savior. And the same eternity. Folks, there are not degrees in heaven. There are not degrees. The Lord's not going to stack us all up and say, "Okay, Ron, you've been saved. How long have you been saved?" "A bunch." "How many?" "At least 30 years. All right, so Jennifer, how long have you been saved? 108. I was close, wasn't I? Yeah. A long time, right? Yeah, you got saved as a child, didn't you? So the Lord's not going to stand us all up and say, okay, Jennifer, you've been saved longer than your husband, so Ron, you get to go over there, and Jennifer, you get to go up there. No, we all get the same heaven. We all get the same heaven. That's awesome, isn't it? You're not going to get to heaven and the Lord say, well, you know, you said no, and then right at the last minute, 11th hour, you got saved. No, you get the one penny just like everybody else. We all get the same heaven, and we all get the same Savior. Praise God for His salvation. There are not degrees in heaven. The man that gets saved when he's 5 years of age and has his or her sin forgiven and is washed in the blood goes to the same heaven as the man who gets saved at the 11th hour. The thief on the cross enjoys today the same heaven that all the rest of us are going to enjoy one of these days. The same one, folks. Can you imagine the surprise when that fella got a penny? Can you imagine the surprise on his? He said, you giving me this for 1 hour's work? Yeah. And he goes to the next guy and says, here's your penny. Well, wait a minute, you gave that guy a penny. Yeah, and you get a penny. That's what you agreed to. Everybody gets the same heaven. Everybody gets the same Jesus. But folks, think about it. Isn't that just like the Lord? That's just like Jesus. To treat us all in that way. Man, praise God for the blessings of salvation. Now, folks, I dare say that there is an 11th hour man or woman here this morning where I don't think the Lord would have impressed my heart to preach on this subject this morning. You are right now being called by the householder, and the householder is the Lord. The householder is the Lord. You are right now being called. Would you come? I mean, the day is almost over. The time is getting late. How many times does God have to call you before you're going to start listening? Huh? He has been calling over and over. He has been speaking over and over. And now it's your 11th hour. Would you come to the Lord finally? Would you come before it's too late? Why don't you give your heart to the Lord Jesus today? Bow your heads with me, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Please, no one looking around for just a moment. How many of you will say here this morning, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it and there's no doubt about it. And if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know I'm saved. Would you lift your hand and testify that you know Christ as your Savior? You say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. There's no doubt about it. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven, and I'm sure of that. Amen. Thank you. May put your hands down. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, think about it, dear friend. Could this be your 11th hour? I don't know. But I know after hearing this parable explained, I don't think I'd put off trusting Christ as my Savior. Why don't you trust Him this morning? If you didn't raise your hand, you know who you are. And I'm asking you, would you let the Lord do something in your heart? Father in heaven, you know our needs this morning. And Father, as best as I know how, I pray that you will touch our hearts today. I pray that the Holy Spirit will just tap some folks on the shoulder and say, you need to trust the Lord Jesus. Father, before it's too late, help us to realize our need of getting our eternal life settled. Make your calling and election sure. So, Father, help us to do that this morning. May the Word of God make a difference. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.